Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Martha has all of these portions of food to serve her guest with. Even her greatest guest, Jesus. This Jesus has become an up-and-coming important person in her town and in her area. People are listening to him as he speaks the word of God, as he does these amazing miracles in the sight of all of these people. You can imagine her excitement at the fact that Jesus has accepted her invitation to entertain him as a guest in her own home, as an opportunity for her to serve him. Martha must have been elated that Jesus was coming to her house. It's time to give the best that her humble home can offer. And she needs to feed Jesus with the best portions. But Martha is upset. Oh, her sister Mary. Maybe Martha thought, has her head in the clouds, totally disregarding the actual work that needs to be done. She's acting like one of those idealist types, always talking and listening to this and that, but never doing anything. But Martha is a woman of action. She toils to get the job done. She works and is exhausted, and then wakes up and does it again. Perhaps once again, she thought, Mary is not doing a thing. Sitting at the feet of their guest like a puppy when there's work to be done. But when you have dinner guests over to your home, you are expected to entertain them after all. Perhaps Martha thinks, enjoying the company of the guest? No, first you have to feed your guests and serve them. Then maybe you get to sit down and talk, but that comes after. You do your work first, and then you sit. You have to earn your time to sit at the feet of your guest. Serve the portions first. Then you can enjoy. And it's only a matter of time until Martha explodes. But Martha doesn't go to her sister. No, she goes to the one who thinks will help her kick her into gear. Jesus, can't you see how much work I'm doing? My sister has left me alone to do it all by myself. Tell her to stop being a slouch and help me out. I have to feed you and all these people. Look at all these portions we still have to bring out. Martha makes sense, doesn't she? I mean, that's the way things work, isn't it? You have to do your work first before you enjoy the rest. You have to work your whole life before you retire. You have to save up all your money before you can find enjoyment in life. You have to make sure that your life is settled before you think you can think about having a family. You have to put your career first. And we get upset when we encounter people who don't put the same value on the work that we are doing. And we think, oh, they're a bunch of slouches, lazy. They aren't investing their time and their energy into the worthwhile things like I am. But all too often in this life, we feverishly work and work and work on something to find out that it's gone in an instant. And we think that we are contributing to something that's lasting, only to find out that it's not. Maybe it's building up that retirement to find out that the that the market sucked it dry, or padding your bank account to find out you have an unexpected bill. Maybe it's building that perfect reputation to have someone defame your character. You think, was it worth it? It's not to say that those things might not be important in their own way, but in the grand scheme of things, in the larger picture, are they? Is the thing that we're feeding all of our time and our energy into really all that important? And what about Martha? She's serving Jesus. Of all people to be serving, he's surely the most important, right? He's the Lord, God in the flesh. If there's anyone on earth that you should be serving, it should be Jesus, right? Surely serving God is worthwhile, right? The more that we do for him, the more we should expect in return, right? If you feed Jesus with a good meal and portion, you should expect him to reward you handsomely, right? What will Jesus say to Martha? Does he say, "You're right, Martha. Mary, get up and go to work. I want the best service for me right now. Do you hear?" Well, no. What does Jesus say? He says it compassionately. As he says, "Martha, Martha, you are distracted by many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion that will not be taken away from her." Martha, this whole time, has been thinking that the portions that she is serving were the most important thing going on in her house. All of the fine portions of the best food that she could muster up was the best meal in the house. But what she failed to see was that what, in fact, was the best meal in the house. She failed to see that the best meal in the house was the portion that Jesus was serving. It is his word. Mary has chosen the good portion. The good portion is what Jesus is feeding, his word, that will fill and satisfy. It's the word of eternal life that will never be taken away. It's eternal. It is the bread of life. And maybe what is most astonishing is that we can even be doing all of these things that we say we're doing for Jesus, but be distracted by those things. Thinking that our time and energy and devotion that we say is for Jesus is actually a distraction. Sometimes we can think that we are serving Jesus when in fact we are serving our own desires to make it known that we are doing the good work. Our own work that we say is for Jesus can actually be a burdensome distraction. But Jesus helps us see, once again, this morning, that the best meal in the house is not the one that we serve, but is the one that Jesus is serving us, his word. It's not that serving the Lord is a bad thing. It is a good thing. Even Paul speaks about serving the Lord, about how he toils to make the word known. But that's the spirit, as Paul even says in our reading in Colossians today. That's the spirit that is working that work in him. It's this bundle of energy of the Spirit at work in him to serve and to make God's word known to all people. But what Jesus helps us to see this morning is that we need to be served before we can serve. We need to be fed before we can feed. For how can you serve if you have not been fed? How can you fill stomachs with food unless you receive? How can you drive a car unless you have gas in the tank? You cannot. The one thing that is needful is to hear the word of Jesus. It is to be passive, to receive God's word that sustains and creates faith within you. As God says, be still and know that I am God. Jesus sets the order right once again. Martha was trying to put the cart before the horse. She tried to put her service before the Lord of life who is serving her. For the Lord of life did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus himself declares to you and to me that he is the one who is serving the everlasting meal, the good portion. He has come as the Savior to the world. He has come to give you life through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, where he took every single one of your sins, every time that you allowed yourself to be distracted by the lesser things of this world, every time that you thought other things in this life were more needful than his word. He came and he paid the price for every one of your sins to forgive you and to give you life and salvation. He paid it all. And we speak this portion to you once again this morning. Jesus has come to serve you, to forgive you, to give you life. And nothing in this world can take that away from you. It is eternal, lasting, without end. And Jesus is showing us once again this morning that service only comes by being served by him first. And we reflect on that in this very liturgy, this service that we have this morning. As we've talked about before, this is God's service to us. It's the best meal in the house. And there's a particular rhythm to this liturgy, to this service that we have here today. If you look at the way that our service is actually structured, you'll see this echoed. It's like breathing in and breathing out, receiving and responding. It happens in that order for a reason. We receive forgiveness of sins in confession and absolution, and it leads to singing. I announce the peace of God to be with you, and you respond, and also with you. The Lord's Scripture is read, and you respond, thanks be to God. The Lord's body and blood are given to you. You respond, amen. This is true. It's all over the service. God is feeding you, and you are responding. God's word enters your ears, creates faith by the Holy Spirit, and you respond with your mouths. This is the proper order that God desires to work in you. You know, the world will chafe at this. They will say, hey, you Christians think that prayer is going to do anything? You think that spending time Sunday morning in a church is going to do anything? You think that reading your Bible in the morning is going to do a thing for the world's problems? See, if the world doesn't understand, then it's because the world doesn't know Jesus. There is a time for service that is out there when you get into your vocations of being mothers and fathers, being workers, being sons and daughters, as you seek to live out your lives for your neighbors, as you serve them and care for their needs simply because they have needs. But that only comes because you have been fed. That only becomes a freedom to serve other people because Jesus has served you. Jesus' service to you comes first. Mary had it right. She has chosen the good portion. Not because service is bad, not even because Mary chose to be a good church-going lady, but because it's about Jesus, who has come to serve us. Feeding others can only come about if you are fed. The best meal in the house is not the one that you are serving. No, the best meal in the house is the one that Jesus is offering to you by his word. And Jesus invites you to this meal this morning. This is the one thing that is needed. This is the good portion. Amen.